blessing us to be in the house of prayer. Before we get into the word, just want to thank the choir for blessing our hearts. Let's give the Lord and them a hand. Amen. And today being the 1st of May, we're not going to miss the birthdays. So we're going to celebrate the birthdays in just a few minutes. But let me ask you to pray for Trustee Vincent Patterson. He was in the hospital this week. And also continue to pray for Tracy Miller. And that is Pat. What's Pat's last name? Somebody help me out. Okay. Patricia Hutchings. That's her daughter. Continue to pray for her and the sister of Shelby Cunningham. So please keep them in your prayers, as well as others that may be going through times of struggles and times of sickness. So pray for them. We would also like to just announce that it's a thank you note from Brenda Jackson and Vicki Pollard in the death of their brother. So we ask that you continue to pray for the bereaved family. DeWarren Johnson lost her sister, but continue to pray for them, that the Lord would bless and bring about healing and comfort to them. Lastly, we have a thank you that comes to the Crossroad Baptist Church. This is a thank you from Miss Ruby Mickles. She said, thank you for helping Mom's 100th birthday, or making it extra special. This is from her daughter, Brenda. We enjoyed her birthday celebrations. She and we appreciate your birthday cards, well wishes, birthday appreciation, leadership, and very generous monetary gifts. So again, thanking the church for just remembering her on her 100th birthday. That's a celebration. Amen? Amen. And let me welcome those that are in the parking lot, those online, and those who are in here. We thank God for each one of you as we come together to celebrate the goodness of God. It's the 1st of May, and we know that springtime is on its way. A lot of us, we having to deal with allergies, but we thank God for it anyway. Amen? But if you have birthdays in the month of May, now is your time to celebrate, because guess when my month comes? All right, just want you to know that. Freddie, all right, we got others. Anybody else with a birthday? Okay, the twins, they got birthdays. On the choir, okay. Rosine, is that you? Your birthday month, okay. All right, we're going to sing happy birthday to you all. Amen?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday to you.
May God bless you.
May God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you.
Amen. Amen. And thank you all for being faithful in your giving to the church. We thank God for each one of you. Thank you for some of you realizing, well, okay, the pandemic's doing better. I'm going to head out to church. So we thank God, and for you, it's good to see you out in our worship today. As we prepare for this message, we want to invite your attention to the book of Daniel. We've been studying the book of Daniel as we've entertained the thought or how we make life choices. And today we're going to share that with you as we consider Daniel and some of the issues that he faced in his life. Daniel chapter 6 is where we find our scripture text for today. You can go to your Bible or to your iPad or from your other electronic device as we look to God's word today. Daniel 6 verse 7 is where we begin. All the officials of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the military leaders, have consulted together to establish a royal law and to make it firm, a firm decree that whoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, he will be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the law and sign the writing, that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be altered. In other words, there was no Supreme Court. You couldn't appeal it. All right, y'all still there? Verse 8, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the law. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did before. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Before you take your seat, look at somebody and tell them, pray your way out. Look at somebody else and tell, don't touch them, just look at them and tell them, pray your way out. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Father, we thank you again for blessing us this amazing day, first Sunday in May, as we celebrate the Lord Jesus and we celebrate all of your mercy and all of your kindness that you've shown us. Lord, as we come together today, we need you to help us. And so we turn to you in prayer. There is power in prayer, but not on our end. The power comes from the other end. The request and the fellowship comes from our end. As Lord, as Reverend Gibbons had already brought out, it's our communication and our connection with the living God. So we thank you for this day. We ask that you bless us now. And Lord, we can even pray a midnight prayer in midday because the Lord is good. Bless us now in our time together that we may worship and have fellowship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all the saints of God said, amen. Amen. Had a little song when I woke up this morning came to mind. This little song. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. How many of y'all know it? The Lord is blessing me right now, oh, right now. What did he do? He woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. The Lord is blessing me right now. Come on, let's say it again. Oh, the Lord is blessing me right now, right now. I can't see you, but I can hear you. Behind that mask is rough to sing, isn't it? Right now. Oh, he woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. The Lord is blessing me right now. If the Lord is blessing you, give him a great big hand clap. Amen. Pray your way out. What does it mean when you're facing issues or times in your life that you don't understand everything that's going on, but you believe and you trust in the living God that he will bring you through? As we look at this message, we think about the circumstances and the consequences that Daniel found himself facing. Should I pray or should I not pray? They had written a decree, a law that was signed by the Medes and the Persians, that if you prayed, it was against the law. And not only was it against the law, but the penalty was you will be thrown into the lion's den. Or in other words, it was a death sentence. As we look at this process that we call the making of laws or the making of rules, we normally assume that all the laws are good and they're going to benefit people. But in many cases, that is not so. It is not true. There have been many laws that have oppressed people down through the ages. How do you respond to these oppressive laws and things that we find ourselves involved in? Laws in this nation that have not been right. When they passed laws that had removed the Native Americans, the first Americans, from their homeland and placed them in what they call settlements, called reservations, that was something that oppressed people. Are y'all still here? During World War II, they passed laws that said that the Japanese people and people of Asian descent, they were going to lock them up because we don't know if they're collaborators. Now, that was an oppressive law. In this country, laws have been passed to keep people down. The Jim Crow laws, the voting laws that restricts people their right to vote. These are laws that are being passed, and people say, oh, yeah, we're just doing what... No, 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 you're oppressing people. You're not setting people free. You're not delivering them. You're not helping them. Laws have been passed in this nation because, I hate to tell you this, but it's a wake-up call. Not everyone that is elected to office is for your good. Are y'all still in the house? There are people that can cause problems, but I didn't come to preach about laws today. I came to tell you what you can do if there are bad laws. You can make it if you try, and guess what you can do? Somebody say you can pray your way out. Daniel was faced with oppressive laws. You will be faced with situations, not necessarily laws, but practices. Things that are done to keep you from getting to where God wants you to be. But how many of you know if God be for you, he's more than the world against you? People can't hold you down for long if you got God on your side. Are y'all still here? So these laws were passed. Daniel had a law facing him and a decision that he needed to make. Should I obey the law? If I obey the law, I'm going to dishonor God. If I follow the rule of man, I will not be keeping what the Lord would have me to do. And so Daniel was faced with a decision. Some of you are faced with decision today. Should I do this in order to say I'm living for God, or should I take another route? How do I deal with the situation? And the answer is, you can pray your way through it. You can pray your way out of it. You got to keep on praying. So we see, ladies and gentlemen, the necessity for prayer. Prayer is not something that you do only in emergency. You got to do, as the old church would say, stay prayed up. You got to be on your knees before God, calling on his mighty name, knowing that the Lord hears your prayer, but also receiving from God the information that he would have you to live by. Prayer is a very precious thing that the saints of God need in their lives. Daniel made a decision to continue the practice of praying to God as he had before. If you notice, when he recognized and knew that the law and the decree had been signed, he went back to his house, which he would do 3 times a day. He would go back to his house with his windows open toward Jerusalem, and he would pray to God as he did before. Now, where did Daniel get that information from? Open your windows, pray toward Jerusalem. The answer is found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 3 and 4. Daniel was a Jew that was now in captivity. And in their captivity, they were told, don't just sit down and just say, oh, well, nothing I can do about it. They were told in Deuteronomy that when this happens to you because of your sin, if you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all his commands, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will turn your captivity. Somebody say, turn your captivity. When you're in a situation that you can't change because maybe you did something wrong, don't just say there's nothing I can do about it. You can pray your way out. The Bible said that God would turn their captivity, and so Daniel, being a faithful Jew, he couldn't undo the damage that had been done, but what he could do was pray about it. He was confessing his sin. He was saying, God, our nation has sinned, and that's why we're in the shape we're in. Oh, that somebody in this nation would fall down on their knees and admit, God, we have sinned. We have done wrong. And Lord, we need your help. You can still pray about it. This faithful Jew fell on his knees, and he said before the living God, Lord, we need your help. We're in dire straits. We're about to be a nation that has no people. Matter of fact, we don't have a homeland, and sooner or later, we're going to be scattered across the face of the world. But you told us that if we would open our windows toward Jerusalem, so every sunrise, he would open his window toward where Jerusalem was, and he would pray. Then at noonday, he would pray. And then in the evening before he retired, he would pray because he knew that God could bring deliverance. How many of you know that God can bring deliverance? When you understand that God is greater than your emergency, when you understand that God is greater than the crisis that you're facing, you won't mind praying. As a matter of fact, there are times when you won't even have a crisis, but you know you still got a God and he's worthy to be praised. You'll go to him. Some people say, I call him in the morning. I call him in the evening. I call him at the noonday hour. Why? Because God is good. And we add one more call in there. Call him in the midnight hour. Amen. Call on the Lord because he is worthy to be praised. Daniel recognized that praying to God was greater, was the issue that he had to face in his life. And he said, it's more important for me to pray to God rather than me to follow the king's law. Yes, he defied the law. I know some of you are thinking, well, I thought the Bible said we ought to pray in secret. He was praying in secret. They didn't know what he was praying about, but they knew he was praying. Are y'all still here? Who was it that came out? The mother of Samuel, Hannah. When she was praying, the priest didn't know what she was talking about, but he knew she was saying something. He recognized the fact that they were praying. And when you start praying to God, you're seeking his will. You're seeking that the Lord would turn things around. Again, it is written in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 38 and 39. These were the things that were pressing on the heart of Daniel. It says that Solomon prayed the prayer that if your people who are in captivity would return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity. Notice he was in Babylon. Jerusalem was hundreds of miles away. So he turned his face toward that direction and he prayed. If the people in their land of captivity, where they have been carried away captives, pray toward their land and toward the city which thou hast chosen. Then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and will bring them back to their land. Isn't God all right? If you're in your problem, turn to the problem solver and say, Lord, have mercy. Then God will turn your situation around. As a matter of fact, he'll turn you around so that you'll know how to trust him more and serve him better. Look at somebody and tell them, you got to pray your way out. We must not cease to pray just because they have a law. Daniel's co-workers down in the Department of Administrative Services said to themselves, this man is going too far. His prayers are paying off. He's being promoted and we're not being promoted. Now, all they had to do was trust in God and believe in him and the Lord would work in their life. But Daniel was a praying man, and God wanted him in a position where people could recognize not Daniel, but the God Daniel served. Oh, wouldn't it be something if you prayed to such an extent that people didn't see you, but they saw Christ in you? Wouldn't it be something when they saw that Jesus was shining through your face and that the Lord was working through you? Oh, that people would see the love of God in this day and age in which we're living in, an age of hatred, an age of confusion, an age of lies, an age where people are deceiving and being deceived. Lord, have mercy. You say, what can we do, Pastor? We're going to pray our way out. We're busting out of here. Amen. We're going to get through this thing because the Lord didn't bring us this far to leave us now. Now, why were they so upset at Daniel that they would connive and get together and start what they call a committee? You see, in the government, you have these committees that they'll get together and they'll think about an issue. And before they bring it to the full floor to vote, they will kind of work together saying, we're going to put this in it. And we're going to put this in. And so when it comes out of committee and all of those in the committee voted, yeah, that's what we ought to do, because we don't like Daniel. So the committee on Daniel decided that Daniel is going too far. Now this whole thing started with the fact that the king liked Daniel because he was faithful. He could depend on him. If he needed something done, as a matter of fact, he had a dream that he couldn't understand, Daniel could interpret it. See, he was a wise man, but he was also a good man. He believed in the living God, Brother Bolden. That's why God said, I'm going to use this boy. So they got together because they saw, well, the king likes him. And here's a breakdown. If you read the first of chapter 6, you'll understand that the king made a decision. He said, now, I got 120 provinces, but I want leaders over all those provinces. So there was 120 folk, the one that said they were going to be leaders over each one of the provinces. But not only that, the king also said, we're going to get three of them. Who's going to be over the 120? It don't look too good now if you want promotion, right? And you ain't one of the three. Guess who was among the three? Daniel was. And not only that, but the king liked it so much, and he saw that Daniel was prosperous, and he knew what he was talking about. As a matter of fact, Daniel was not a preacher. He didn't call himself a prophet. He was a statesman. Are y'all still here? Well, I thought he was a preacher. No. He preached, but he wasn't a Can I help y'all through something? You don't need a title. You just need an opportunity. Can I preach to somebody? A whole lot of folk trying to get the title, trying to get all the accolades and the stuff before their name and the stuff after their name. Just do what the Lord told you to do. I wish I could preach like I feel up here. Daniel prayed, and the king found so much in Daniel that he said, now above the three, I'm going to appoint a CEO over this Department of Administrative Services, and his name is going to be Daniel. That's when the 120 got together and made their committee, and they said, you know what, we got to get rid of this guy because he's about to be our boss. He's about to be the one that's going to be telling us what to do. So they came up with this law. What are we going to do? We can't find any fault in his lifestyle because he don't run women. He don't drink. He don't go to the club. He doesn't gamble. He doesn't lie. He doesn't cheat. He won't take bribes. He won't do anything wrong. The only thing we can find in him is that he's in love with Jesus. I wish I had a witness here. So the committee got together and they said, now the only thing we can do is to go after his faith in God. We're going to make a law. And the law says, if you pray in 30 days in any other name except the name of the king. By the way, they knew that the king had a little ego problem. And what better way to get to a person and get them to sign the law except to say, this law is going to honor you. You the man, king. As a matter of fact, we're going to promote you above all the gods. If anyone prays to any god, anybody, anywhere in all of your kingdom, king, they're going to be thrown into the lion's den. And when they brought the law in, man, they had that thing dressed up right. They had the little gold seal on it and everything ready. So when they got in there, the king gave him three or four pens to sign it in different colors of ink, red, white, and blue. Now, I don't know how the white would do, but y'all get the point. So he came in. King, we got this law. If anybody bows down to any god other than you for 30 days, let them be thrown into the den of lions. Because you are the one that deserves the honor. And the king just smiling. He's just cheesing. He's just smiling. Oh, yeah. Didn't think about that one of his boys, his main man, is going to be impacted by this law. Are y'all still here? In Bible study, we've been wondering what we're going to talk about. This is what we're going to talk about this week. How do you respond to the oppressive laws that are passed? When Daniel found out that the law had been signed, he didn't make him a protest sign. Read your Bible. He didn't say, we need to form a Daniel's Life Matters group. I'm not against anybody. If you want to march, go ahead. My legs are bad. I can't walk like that. What did Daniel do? He went to his house, got down on his knees, had his window open to Jerusalem. Read your Bible. And prayed like he had before. Now, if you want to march, that's on you. That's fine. I ain't going to problem. But what you going to do after march is over? What you going to do after you protested? And then, while the marches may have been good, you got folk marching with you. You don't know what they represent or who they represent. You can't stand with everybody. Are y'all still in the house? I know I'm supposed to be on my sermon on Daniel, but I'm talking about Daniel. Because he faced an oppressive law that was wrong. And when the king realized that the law was wrong, Lewis, that's when he said, hey, I'm going to deliver Daniel. I'm going to get him out of this. But Lynn, it was too late then. Because the law of the Medes and Persians did not have a supreme court. Are y'all still here? And the law of the Medes and Persians says once it's done, it's set, you can't change it. So Daniel was now scheduled to be a victim in the lion's den. And the boys that signed that law, they said, we got him now. He ain't gonna stop praying. And the lions ain't gonna stop eating. We got him now. And the law can't be changed. But how many of y'all know that God is bigger than a law? They passed a whole lot of laws that we wasn't supposed to be here today. But can you raise your hand and say, I'm still here in Jesus' name? The Lord brought him out and the Lord delivered him. But I want to just share with you some times that when you're in life, I'm going to deal with this very quickly. I might run out of time. But there are barriers to prayer. Did you not know that Daniel could have gone home so upset that he said, I can't pray. I'm just so upset I can't focus on prayer. But how many of y'all know that when you are praying, the prayer is not all up to you? Romans 8:26 says, when you're praying, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that can't even be uttered. So all you got to do is get in the position to pray. And the Holy Ghost will start praying through you and praying for you according to God's will. That's what the Bible says. How did Daniel respond? He didn't let these barriers get into his way. He didn't allow himself to get so upset. I want to give you three barriers that you're going to have to deal with. One is people. One is people. Do you not know people will have you so frustrated, so mad, so angry that you can't even read your Bible? Every time you try to turn the page, you go say, look at what they did to me. Look at what they said about me. Look at how they're treating me. You're going to be off focus because you're focused on them and what they do. Now, Jesus said they can slay your body, but they can't do a thing to your soul. Are y'all still in the house? You call them the troublemakers, but behind all of that is Satan. Satan is behind that. That's why he wants you to see that person who did you wrong. He wants you to see him as the worst person in the world, the person that doesn't deserve God's mercy. But what did Jesus say? He said, pray for your enemy. I see y'all getting upset. I'm getting quiet. Oh, Lord, Jesus. I thought he was going to talk about pray your way out. He's talking about people problem. He know I got people that I want to cuss out, but I'm a Christian and I can't cuss them. You can always have those problems. But when you can pray and get past the anger, because for every one person that does you wrong, God's going to send somebody that's going to treat you right. So what you got to do is lift up your head and say, okay, I'm going to let that one go. Amen. I'm going to focus on the next person and try to love them. I'm going to love them, but I might have to love them at a distance. Are y'all still here? Porcupine people, right? Can't get too close to them. They'll stick you. Yeah. But not only will you have people problems, but you will also have the problems themselves. The problem itself. You can get sick. You can get in debt. You can have issues that are going on and things that you don't know how to handle it. And the problem itself will try to exalt itself to a point that now you have lost your prayer consciousness. You forget to pray because you're thinking about the problem. It is occupying every ounce of your time. You cannot pray because this thing is so big. And the reason why it got that way, one of the reasons, is that you're now saying, this problem is more important than anything else in my life. Let me tell you something my mama told me. I'm going to preach about mama next week. Lord, have mercy. She said, if the problem don't kill you, don't kill yourself. Did y'all hear? Let me say that for some young folk. Amen. Some young people, they want to take their life. You ain't got but one life anyway. You don't get back up after you do that thing. Amen. If the problem does not destroy you, don't destroy yourself. Let me put this in the context of where Daniel is. Since they had not thrown him into the lion's den, guess what he's going to do? He's going to pray his way all the way to the lion's den. Are y'all still here? Because when you pray, you're connected with who? You're connected with God. Don't allow the problem to outgrow itself. Amen? As we used to do in the country when we raised something called tobacco, we had to pull those suckers off of it. And what those suckers would do, they would draw the life out of the true plant. And what you're doing, you're letting the problem draw the life from you. You need to develop a Teflon-type spirit. I don't know why I'm saying it. Somebody need it. You got to let stuff fall right off of you, you know? You know, you got this stuff, these new products that you cook stuff and don't even stick to the pan. Are y'all here? But you got to make sure that you got the right one and not an off-brand. Hallelujah, somebody. When it comes to prayer, you can't have an off-brand of prayer. You got to be real with God. You got to let him know, Lord, I want to thank you for what you're doing in my life. Don't allow the problem to outgrow itself. But then the other thing about the prayer, the problem itself, is that most of our time is spent on trying to come up with a solution. We want to solve it. Got a problem? We're going to solve it. Especially men. Are y'all here? Especially men. I got it. Bro, you ain't got it. And some of you women who think you can solve the problem, you don't have it. And calling somebody on the phone, calling your girlfriend and say, guess what happened to me? That ain't gonna solve it either. But when you call God on the phone, when you let the Lord know what is happening, now you're not depending on your human ability. Now you're saying, Lord, it's in your hands. It's in your hands. Every time Daniel fell on his knees, he said, God, it's in your hands. I'm in your hands. I want to see us delivered from this captivity. But right now I'm facing a lion's den. Don't know what to do about it. Don't know how to handle it. And by the way, a lion's den doesn't have to have those creatures in it, those big cats in it. Are y'all here? A lion's den could be poverty. How many of y'all grew up poor, still poor, but you're still making it? Why? Because God put food on your table. How many of y'all been sick, didn't know if you're going to get well, but guess who stopped by? That's a lion's den. It was supposed to have consumed you. It was supposed to have destroyed you, but you can stand up today. I know it's not shouting time right yet, but you can stand up and say, I still made it in Jesus' name. Lost loved ones, that was a lion's den, and the devil got in there to make the lions roar to try to destroy you, but you said, the Lord brought me safe thus far, and the Lord is going to lead me every step of the way. I've been in the lion's den, but I prayed my way out. Oh, can I tell you what happened here? The Bible said that Daniel kept on praying. Can we say that? Daniel kept on praying because he knew the worth of prayer. And don't you make the mistake of giving up on prayer, because when you say, I can't pray, then you're saying, God can't give me an answer. Now, let me tell you something. Sometimes his answer might be wait. Sometimes his answer might be no. And when he tells you no, he's got something better than what you prayed for. Are y'all still here? But sometimes the answer is yes. I don't know how Daniel prayed. Maybe he prayed, Lord, don't let me go into the lion's den. I can't imagine that he was even thinking in his mind, well, I don't know, you know, if I'm going to make it in, you know. But his confidence was not in the fact of what he could do, but he knew how strong God was. Do you know how strong God is? So what do you pray for when you pray? You pray for God's presence. You pray for the Lord to be with you. You pray that God would keep you in his will. And then you make your petition before God. A lot of us go to God, we talk to him, and don't tell him what we want. But my grandma said, call him up and tell him what you want. Make the petition. Ask him. Say, Lord, nobody can do this but you. Nobody can answer but you. Make your petition known before God. And then when you make the petition known, now the Lord can operate, because what you have done is you said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
You've given him something that he has received into his presence. God wants to deliver us, but you got to believe that God is able. Are y'all still here? Daniel kept on praying. Daniel prayed, and he knew that God's presence would be with him. But then the thing that Daniel prayed about is for God's power to be revealed. God's power revealed in our life is our witness to the world. That's when we tell people, I know that my Redeemer lives. And guess what happened? The only one that couldn't sleep was the king. The ones who had made up this concocted law, they slept fine. Boy, tomorrow everything gonna be all right. We're gonna get rid of Daniel, everything gonna be all right. And the king couldn't sleep because he had knew he'd done Daniel wrong. The lions couldn't sleep because they didn't have nothing to eat. When the lions came over trying to devour Daniel, God stopped their mouths. Are y'all still here? God stopped their mouths so that the lions couldn't consume him. And there was Daniel that said, okay, I'm going to rest in the Lord and in his promises. Early the next morning, the king got up expecting for the worst to happen. But when you know you prayed, the worst might try to happen, but it can't take you out of here. Are y'all going to pray with me? The king came to the den and said, oh, Daniel. And the scripture says in the King James, in a lamentable voice, which means he was crying. He was crying. He was weeping. But Daniel in the lion's den, he's smiling. What's he smiling about? God has smiled on me. He has set me free. And Daniel knew that the power of God was available for him. King didn't expect an answer. But when Daniel answered back from their den, live long, O king. My God has sent his angel and has shut the mouths of the lions. I want to just say this in closing. God will not only shut the mouths of the lions, he'll shut folks' mouths that are trying to put you down. Are y'all still in the house? People that say you'll never be anything. God is going to shut their mouth because one day you're going to rise up and be somebody. All you got to do is keep on praying. If you're in a lion's den, keep on praying. Keep on believing. And guess what happened? The end of the story is that they took Daniel out, but then the king realized that the folks that was on this committee to pass the law to cause them to put Daniel, the anti-Daniel law, to put him in the lion's den. The king said, I can't rely on y'all. Because if you do that to Daniel, I can only imagine what you'll do if you had power and authority to do it. The very folk that tried to put Daniel down, they got thrown into the lion's den. And guess what? The angel that kept them from eating Daniel now said, go at it, boys. You got your meal. Hey, when people talk about you, you can say, wait a minute. God is going to move and bring me out. But what you got to do? You got to keep on. Look at somebody and tell them, I got to keep on praying. I got to keep on praying. I got to keep on praying. Daniel prayed his way through the lion's den, prayed his way out. What are you going to do in your circumstance? Are you going to pray your way out? I close with the words of a song that I wrote back in 2003. It's entitled, Pray Your Way Out. Darkness around you, you can't see your way through. There's a simple solution to your pain. Fall down on your knees. Tell God what it's all about. That's when you discover you can pray your way out. You're not the first child of God to have trouble come your way. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? If you believe God will move, come what will or may, he will deliver you again and again. Look at somebody last time, tell them you got to pray your way out. Father, thank you for blessing us today, and what a joy it's been. What a joy it has been for us to be able to pray our way out of these circumstances. No, we're not praying that the Lord should take us out of this world, at least not yet, but we want to be a testimony to let people know that what held us down did not keep us down. And the way that we got up was not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. We prayed our way out, and now we stand firm in Jesus' name and for the glory of God. If there's someone in sin today, you need to pray your way out. Pray that God would bring you out of darkness into the marvelous light, that you can know him and the fellowship through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Please pray your way out. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to open the doors of the church for those who are outside the church, where you're listening online. Opening the doors of the church in here simply means someone coming down the aisle. But what it means online is you surrendering your life to Jesus and saying to him, God, I don't want to do this on my own. I want to trust you that you would save me. Walk with me through life. That's what it means to come to the Lord and for the church to be open to you. And I would suggest that you've never done that. Please do that today. While we all stand, the invitation is given. Whosoever will, let him come. While the choir is singing, we'll ask Brother Joe if he'd come. And after the song, give us the prayer of dismissal, but also to pray over the offering. Brother Joe.
Church, I've got to tell you this. You know, when I was younger, working, you know, the credit card company saw that I was young, energetic. They sent me all these credit cards. And when they've gotten all the interest out of me, they said, we no longer want your business. So now I am old enough, they stopped, and guess what they're sending me? They're sending me death insurance. What a message today to know that, you know, God is good. And I don't have to worry about it because he has gone to prepare a place for me. Let us pray. Father, this morning we are so thankful that thou hast blessed us with such a powerful message. Lord, it is only because of you that we are able to come together in this sanctuary to lift up your name. And we are so thankful and grateful that thou hast given us so much and that we have so much to look forward to. So we are asking today as we depart from this place that our hearts, O God, and minds may be motivated by your spirit to go out and share your word with others. And Lord, may we remind ourselves that we must pray. Pray our way out. Because it is the only power that we have. It is the only way that we can effectively defeat the enemy. So help us, O God, to go out and to tell someone about that power. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. And Lord, for the offering, we do pray your blessing upon all the gifts. May we continue to be used, O God, to proclaim your word so that someone somewhere can be saved. Thank you for all of what you have done and what you're going to do, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.